defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To find out more about the program, Hank Hanegraaff, or other highly recommended resources to be better equipped with answers, go to www.equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
People calling in from all over the United States and Canada, a reminder that this is a ministry desperately needed in these times, a ministry that is providing the body of Christ with discernment skills in a time in which discernment is sadly lacking within the body of Christ. And of course, our purpose as always is simply to make people familiar, so familiar, I should say, with the real, that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. And in the process, we want you to embrace the main and the plain things of Scripture. What is main and plain, put another way, is essential Christian doctrine. An essential Christian doctrine. These are the very doctrines for which the martyrs bled and died. They form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. And I am so passionately committed to teaching essential Christian doctrine that I've developed a flip chart. It's 4x6, it's laminated, and it's intended to give you essential Christian doctrine in such a way that you can memorize the content, that you not only know what you believe with respect to essential Christian doctrine, but you know why you believe it as well. And therefore, you're able to distinguish between the main and the plain things of Scripture and those things which are significant but secondary. And we are committed in that process to, in essentials, there must be unity. In non-essentials, liberty. We can debate ecclesiology or church government or eschatology, the meaning of the millennium or the timing of the tribulation. What we can't debate is the essential Christian doctrine that Jesus will appear a second time, and that is yet future. So there are things we can debate vigorously. We don't have to divide over. But there are also the main and plain things which, when you eradicate or compromise or confuse or contradict them, you have just given up the faith. The faith once for all revealed to the saints. The faith which is the foundation on which we stand. My flip chart, again, it's a 4x6 laminated flip chart. It's available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute as a way of thanking you for your support on the one hand, on the other hand, of equipping you so that you can be a change agent in the culture as opposed to a mere microcosm of the culture. The flip chart available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, 28271. You can go to the World Wide Web at equip.org, equip.org, and order online for your gift. Or you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and then the letter CRI. Put another way, 888-7000-274. We got a lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone calls. First up, Robert. He's listening in Raleigh, North Carolina, on WDRU. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm well. Good talking to you.
God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you.
I just finished up a Life of Moses study. I have a heart for Jewish believers. I know a lot more about their history anyway, mm-hmm. as it relates to scriptural history. I'm curious, you mentioned eschatology. Two things. One, practicing Jews, why have they ceased their practice of sacrificial animals on the mercy seat, A, and then B, as a follow-up to that, what is their eschatology? What are they waiting on, or what do they have? A book? Do they have scripture? What do they use to forecast end times for their belief?
Well, I think you have to be careful when you say they, in that Judaism is not a monolith that's multifaceted. So I have a friend in Israel who was a member of the army and is now a guide, Yuval Ross, and he always says, the difference between me and you is when Jesus Christ comes, I'm going to ask him, is this your first or second time? So they are waiting for Messiah. But there are, when we say they, various forms of Judaism. You have Orthodox Judaism or Torah Judaism, which believes that only through devotion to a complex code of Torah law can you experience nearness to God. And ironically, it is possible to be an Orthodox Jew today and yet not believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the irony of the ages. Then you have Reform Judaism, a movement which arose in the 18th century and seeks ways to adapt to the modern world in order to persevere and preserve identity. And in this way, when we talk about Reform Judaism, we're talking about a movement that's always reforming, always changing, in a state of flux. And then there's Conservative Judaism, late 19th century, a reaction to the liberal tendencies inherent in Reform Judaism, and it seeks to forge this middle way between the Orthodox and the Reform Jews. So again, it's not a monolith, it's multifaceted, and we have to take each Jewish person based on which form of Judaism they adhere to. But I think in general, what we have to say is the reason that they are not involved in sacrifice is that there's no temple in which to sacrifice. The temple was the institution that gave the Jews their theological and sociological identity. It was completely destroyed by Titus in AD 70, and it will never be rebuilt, and therefore there will never be animal sacrifices, and that's why you now have Torah Judaism as opposed to Temple Judaism.
Interesting.
I've written about this in various places. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, as well as my book, The Apocalypse Code. If you want more information, those are resources that might be helpful to you. Let's go back to the phone line. We'll talk to Muhammad. He's listening in Seattle, Washington. Hi, Muhammad.
Hi, Hank. It is a privilege to talk to you. And I'm sorry not on the air anymore in Washington State. And I just would like to say your ministry is so crucial. It deserves to be supported by all the people who believe in Jesus Christ.
Mm. Well, thank you, Mohammed.
My question is two. One is, you know, at the resurrection, of course, there is no marriage in heaven. Heaven means, this earth that is the paradise, lost paradise, restored. The restored one is the new heaven, as you say. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, we will be with Jesus here. What happens to us, like the bowel movement, the food and the sanitation, taking shower, and you know that kind of stuff? How does that happen at all, or it doesn't? The system is totally does not work in that way.
Well, here's what we don't know. We don't know exactly how we will be organizationally. We know we'll be physical. But when we say physical, what we're saying is the DNA that makes you you and the DNA that makes me me will be the blueprint for our bodies for all eternity. So in the resurrection, there's no sense in which we say, well, every atom is going to be resuscitated. We don't know the organization of those atoms. What we know is we are going to be physical, and we're going to be what we would have been had sin never entered the world. Now, we don't know exactly how Adam and Eve functioned as human beings. We have glimpses, but we don't know precisely how they were physically because they were in an unfallen state. We are in a fallen state, and that's our experience. So what we know about resurrection is that we will be resurrected physically, which is to say that we are going to be human beings, and human beings by nature have both a body and a soul. So a person that dies, as my dad did in 1997, is absent from the body, present with the Lord. His body's in the ground, his soul is with the Lord, which is more a statement of relationship than location. At the resurrection, when Jesus Christ returns, the soul returns to the body. The body is resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, says 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then Paul in that same chapter gives us examples from botany and zoology and astronomy to give us some kind of an idea of the physicality of the body. But we're immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. We're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, but we will be human beings living in a real physical universe. God doesn't scrap things. He redeems them. He resurrects them. And then we will forever explore the physical created universe that God has placed us within. So we are not going to be omniscient. We know that for sure. According to the Bible, humanity cannot bear the burden of omniscience. So we will learn and grow and develop without error as forever we explore the glory and grandeur of God's created handiwork.
So you're saying we don't know, if we are going to have the bodily function, the organs.
Well, we know we're not going to have sex.
We don't know about that.
Well, yeah, we don't. We know we're not going to have sex because, Earth is the breeding colony. Heaven is the homeland. So we know we're not going to have sex. We know we're not going to be married or be given in marriage. In that sense, we're going to be like the angels. We're going to be different than the angels in that they're non-physical. We're going to be physical. But in that sense, the Bible says we're going to be like the angels. So there are things we know, but there are also many things that we don't know because we look through a glass darkly, using the metaphor of Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. Then we will see face to face. Then we will know even as we're known.
I appreciate that. Can I ask, I was reading my Bible for my devotion time yesterday. I came across a section, I think it's in 1 Kings or 2 Kings, where Solomon was totally turned away from God, and he started worshiping the wrong God of his wives and then so forth. And then because of that, God, of course, was very disappointed or unhappy with him, and he sent a prophet to tell him, because of what you have done, I'm going to basically destroy anybody who would be on the throne, to continue your legacy. But he said, I am not going to do that during your time. I will do it after you have left here. And so the question I have is, somewhere in the Bible, I don't remember, God will not make responsible the father for the sin of the son, or he will not make responsible the son for the sin of the father.
Ezekiel 18.
How do you reconcile those two?
Well, it's a very good question, and I would reconcile those two by saying that the consequences of sin follow inexorably like night follows day. The consequence of Solomon's sin means a divided kingdom. The consequence of David's sin meant the sword never left his home. So consequences follow. For a divided kingdom, there is a consequence that happens to the people of the land. But the people are not responsible for Solomon's sin if they don't follow in the train of Solomon in his sin. They're responsible for their own sin. And as you point out, the Bible in Ezekiel chapter 18 makes that abundantly clear. In fact, the proverb there is the fathers eat sour grapes and the sons' teeth are set on edge. And God says, I don't want that proverb communicated in the land anymore, because it's a false proverb. Each person is responsible for their own sin. But having said that, the consequences of the sins follow on down through the generations. But we are genuinely culpable only for our own sin. So, Muhammad, I could say if you had a father who was an alcoholic, it would have a consequence on your life.
Yes.
So that's the sense in which the consequences come to bear, but you are not culpable in the ultimate sense for the sin of your father. You're only culpable for your own sin. And so when you stand before God in that great assize that we're just talking about, with people from every tongue and tribe and language and people, you're going to be judged for what you did, not for what your father did. Likewise, your son will be judged for what he did, not for what you did.
Again, Hank, thank you very, very much. That is a very good approach to my question. I don't know what to say. I wish everybody in the United States would recognize. Bear with me, there is a plane flying on my head. Every believer would really understand the value of Christian Research Institute.
Thank you so much, but I'm up against a break. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can hear The Bible Answer Man daily, or the best of The Bible Answer Man every weekend on XM Satellite Radio Channel 170, or take in the broadcast online through our website at www.equip.org 24 hours a day? Further, you can also listen to past shows which are archived for your easy access. Hank returns with more of the broadcast right after this. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Our cover story examines the idea of romantic love and ponders its role as the basis for marriage. When Mormon prophet Joseph Smith announced his discovery of the Book of Abraham in 1835, it was heralded as the most important find in biblical studies, older than the Old Testament, and provided the scriptural foundation for the Mormon doctrine of God. Find out why these claims are false. Our Effective Evangelism article provides 10 power-packed arguments for atheists to know that the universe is haunted. Practical Hermeneutics unpacks the question, how was Jesus made sin? And as always, don't miss the popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org. When looking at the night sky, you're not just looking at stars and planets. You're looking at the very fingerprints of God. The cosmos presents irrefutable evidence of God's design, genius, and majesty. You'll find this evidence in The Privileged Planet by Jay Richards. The Privileged Planet presents an amazing supply of evidence to show that our planet is perfectly fit not only to support life, but also to point to the existence of the giver of life. You're taken on a scientific odyssey from a history of tectonic plates and solar eclipses to our location in the Milky Way, the laws that govern the universe, and much more. It will prove that not only do science and faith mix, but science points to faith. The Privileged Planet, available on DVD right now when you call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to equip.org.
Don't all religions lead to God? What is truth? Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
The Bible Answer Man is here to provide the answers people are looking for, because truth matters. Many listeners and Christian leaders have told us of the importance of these answers, like Kirk Cameron.
We as parents have to be equipped, and that's the biggest tragedy, I think, in the family, is that if we don't pass on the faith to our children, and it's just essential, and that's why I appreciate your ministry, Hank. You've helped me have answers that are just ready in my tool belt, so to speak, when I'm talking to people on the streets, when I go out to share the gospel with strangers, when I'm talking with my family. I can go to the website, I can look up questions. The Bible Answer Book's got the answers. I want to encourage everybody who listens to this broadcast and supports it, and those who don't yet support it, to please get on board. And if we all pull together, we can make a massive impact.
The truth is, it simply takes resources to do the unique job that the Christian Research Institute does every day. So we're asking for your financial and prayerful participation. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute or join the Bible Answer Man support team, contact us right now toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
And just before the break, I was talking to Muhammad in Seattle, Washington. And Muhammad, you were interrupted by the station break. You were talking about your commitment to the kind of ministry that the Christian Research Institute represents. And I was interested in a little more of your story. How did you become a follower of Jesus Christ?
I went to a Christian school as a young boy in Africa. And of course, my father gave me advice. My father was a very strong Muslim. He advised me the day before he took me to school. And he said, you know, these people are going to teach you from their book. And to them, you know, everybody who was not a Muslim is a Catholic. He said, these Catholics are going to teach you from the Bible, but whatever they tell you that goes into you in the right ear, don't let it allow to go down into your heart. He said, let it go out in your left ear. And that was advice. To tell you the truth, I had no desire of accepting Jesus. But I was very much interested in learning math and science and, you know, all the other non-religious subjects. But as we were learning the Bible as one of the compulsory subjects, I really had a hard time, because I knew as a Muslim, I would not fulfill the requirement of all the things that the Quran is demanding from me. And as a result of that, I was not sure about my salvation. So I went to church every Saturday, every Sunday for 6 years, asked lots of questions. And after 6 years, God spoke to me. It's just, it's like maybe mind-to-mind communication. I didn't hear audible voice, but it was very clear God was talking to me. And the voice that came to my mind is, Muhammad, there is no self-salvation. Obviously, the Muslims, they believe salvation is by doing work, you know, self-salvation. And I knew that was not possible, even as a young boy, because there was so many things I was already short of fulfilling. And that day, I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me. It was a denomination that is not hype, or, you know, they are low-key, just they teach the Bible, and that's all. They don't do really, you know, like flashing and lightning, that kind of stuff. And so at the end of the program, when the preacher was done, they didn't even give invitation. I just knew this was the time for me to open my heart. So I went to the preacher and I said, I want to ask Jesus, what do I need to do? So he led me to the Lord. I tell you, I didn't like to depart from him. I went with him to his home, stayed with him until 9 in the evening, and he had a very small room with 3 children and wife. There was no place for me to stay. I had to depart and ask him to give me a few verses from the Bible so that I would really meditate on them. And he did that. Hank, that was over 35 years ago. It is amazing what the Lord can do when we open our lives to him. I have been involved in global missions the last 24 years internationally, in Africa, Asia, Australia, Europe, you name it. I have gone to these countries that is impossible to preach, and we do the ministry underground. And I am really privileged, and I think that chance is open to all humanity, everybody who are listening to my voice now. There is no other way but Jesus. There is no other scripture but the Bible. There is no other faith but faith in Jesus. And I'm not saying if you become a Christian, everything will be easy. You will not face any problem. In fact, you will face more problem because you are destroying the kingdom of the devil and building the kingdom of God. And yet, you will have joy knowing where you are going, knowing there is an end to whatever we are facing. And Jesus has prepared a place for us. And that is the hope for humanity. It is not the United Nations. It is not really a solution of any kind. Jesus is the one who created heaven and earth. Jesus is the one who is going to solve the problem of humanity.
Mohammed, why are you passionate about the ministry of the Christian Research Institute?
As a preacher, I go to so many places in the country here, and I've gone to many churches to preach and so forth, even listening on the radio and TV. There are few people who preach the gospel without mixing and without making it acceptable, marketing it in such a way that people will respond. So many churches do that. It is really a sad situation. But the Christian Research Institute is, in my opinion, one of the few ministries that is paying the price by preaching the right message, the word of God, without mixing, without any kind of agenda, but be committed to the scripture, committed to the faith, committed to the obedience to the requirement of Jesus Christ. And I was not always like this, Hank. Maybe about 15 years ago, the first few years when I was listening without really listening to you fully, there were some things I was disagreeing with you. But the more I started listening and fully, make connection and look at the Bible and look at what you say, and look at how you answer. And I've been listening the last 10, 15 years, and I know because of position you have taken, you have been the recipient of, problem, economic problem, and so forth. And yet, you are willing to stand on the truth. You did not compromise. And, This happens because of the mercy of God in the ministry and in your life, and of course your willingness to obey the Bible, to obey Jesus Christ. And I'm just thankful. I wish I could help you We are involved in the ministry. I wish I have you know, thousands of dollars to send it to you. But I pray somehow God will use believers who are blessed by God to really understand what you are doing and help you. Because by doing that, they are not helping you. Really, they are not helping research institute. They are helping God. They are advancing the kingdom of God. And the ministry of Jesus Christ cannot be done by an organization or by individual. It is all of us working as a team, connecting hand in hand. And there is huge responsibility on believers who are blessed by God, and they have millions of dollars in the bank. There is God is really, you will give an account someday, if not now, why you did not respond to the needs of ministry like the Bible Answerman Research Institute, CRI.
Mohammed, I didn't know why I held you over, and I will tell you something. You have been a tremendous encouragement and blessing to me. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I needed to hear what you had to say. It's been a tough week for me. We've had to release a lot of stations that we have been on for a long period of time, some over 22 years, but we no longer had the funds to stay on. We're building debt, and I felt as a responsible steward before the Lord that we couldn't continue to do that. What is amazing, particularly in the last couple of days, is the people that are calling in from those same areas and letting us know that they're going to continue to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. And then to hear your words, not only the testimony of your faith in Jesus Christ and how you came to faith in Christ, but why you support this ministry through your prayers and in whatever way, through your encouragement. And it's meant the world to me. God sent you to this broadcast today. And I, again, thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you, Hank, and I will just say again, this is the ministry of God. Everybody, we all have responsibility to come behind you and lift your hand. Like when Moses was tired, there was Aaron to lift his arm up so Israel would win. And we need everybody to come along and support CRI so that the kingdom of God will advance. Thank you again. Is there a way you could connect me to the journal? At least I will help you by getting that journal. I know it's a good work.
Well, you hang on, Mohammed. We will connect you with the Christian Research Journal. And for everybody else, again, thank you so much for calling. For everybody else listening in, do remember that you can order the journal in a safe, secure fashion, a number of different ways. One is on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Two is via the mail, post office box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And three is by talking to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. You know, we talk so often about divine appointments. I think my appointment with Mohammed was a divine appointment. I need his words of encouragement and support. They are a blessing I will not soon forget. We're coming back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
At the Christian Research Institute, our ministry is supported in so many different ways, and one of those ways involves non-cash assets. These assets include things like cars or real estate. And just as with cash donations, these gifts are tax deductible. To find out more about the types of non-cash gifts that you can donate to the work and ministry in the various outreaches of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just visit our website at www.equip.org. And once there, click on the Donate button and then select the Give a Non-Cash Donation option. Again, that's on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Hank will be right back after these messages.
Thank you. Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
The Word of Promise, New Testament Audio Bible, presented in dramatic audio theater, starring Jim Caviezel as Jesus.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
And Stacy Keach as Paul.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved.
Plus the voices of over 100 actors. Original music score by award-winning Italian composer Stefano Manetti. The New Testament presented and performed in over 25 hours of inspiration and devotion. The Word of Promise, New Testament Audio Bible. Be transformed. Be enlightened. Breathe in the Word of God like never before. Hear the Bible come alive in dramatic audio theater. The Word of Promise.
Call CRI and order the Word of Promise New Testament Audio Bible today at 888-7000-CRI or on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Equipping you and your family to defend your faith and grow in your knowledge of who God is. That's our mission at the Christian Research Institute, and we do it through listeners like you. If you believe in what we're doing here at CRI, we're asking you to partner with us through regular prayer and a special gift. Your support is foundational to keeping us on the air and ministering in your area. To help in CRI's Because Truth Matters mission, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. You can also join online at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Right back to your phone calls. We'll have you hanging on. Let's go back to Edwin in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Edwin.
Hey, how are you, Hank?
I'm
good. My
first
time calling. Okay, I've been a Christian for many years now, and I've gotten to the point where there's a lot of things going on in churches nowadays that seem too traditional, too ritual, and too commercialized. But my main question for today is, what is your thought on when they pray and they actually say, I cover my family with the blood of Jesus, I cover my finances with the blood of Jesus? Are we to pray using the phrase, by the blood of Jesus, or not? I mean, what is your thought on that?
Well, when we talk about the blood of Jesus, we are referring to the death of Christ. And it is his death, not his physical blood, that redeems us.
Okay.
So even when we take the cup at communion, we celebrate the shed blood of Jesus Christ, or the death of Jesus Christ, the broken body, the bread, the shed blood, the cup, in remembrance of his passion on the cross, for it is through his passion that he completely and totally liberates us from bondage to death and decay and disease and sin. And it is through his death, his sacrifice on the cross, that we know we will have life. And it's not merely his death, as though we should ever attach merely to his death, but it is his life. It is his death. It is his resurrection. It is his ascension. It is the knowledge that he will come again, that he will appear a second time. That is what we commemorate. So in the shedding of blood, we also remember that the broken body and shed blood rose on the third day so that we too might live.
Okay. I understand that. And I agree with you. I mean, he paid the ultimate price for us. But in other words, I stopped praying. I pray, but I no longer use, Lord, by the blood of Jesus, I bless this house. By the blood of Jesus, I bless my family. Because I think that the moment we come to Christ, we all are automatically cleansed with the blood of Christ. Do we need to continue using it as a prayer? There's nothing wrong with it. That is my question.
Well, it depends. People who want to deify the blood are in danger of making a separation between the blood of Jesus Christ and the passion or work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. So we're not deifying the blood of Jesus Christ. We are deifying the person of Jesus Christ. And we have to keep that in mind. But remember that though we are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, in other words, we're justified by a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of our own, which comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, we are being sanctified by Jesus Christ as well. So if we take this in the sense of the person and work of Jesus Christ, we constantly, in that sense, plead his blood or plead his person in the process of sanctification and look forward to the day that he will glorify us. So again, context, context, context is definitive in answering your question.
Okay, that clears it up. So basically, there's really nothing wrong with it as long as we're not using that in vain.
Exactly. Yeah, as long as we recognize the person of Jesus Christ and don't place some kind of magical efficacy in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Which points to the person of Jesus Christ.
Right. Okay, that's clear for me. My next question, a final question, is in a lot of churches I hear, and again, I'm not criticizing anybody, it's just that I have questions, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I hear a lot of churches where they say, well, you know, tonight we're going to get together and we're going to declare spiritual warfare. What is your thought on that?
Well, I mean, look, we are at war with the principalities and powers of darkness, but I think so often we put the emphasis in the wrong place. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul starts out talking about spiritual warfare with the words, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So the emphasis has to always be on the power of God to protect rather than the power of Satan to pillage. And so we put on the full armor of God so we're victorious in spiritual warfare. If we do, we are guaranteed victors. If we don't, we are guaranteed casualties in spiritual warfare. So what we have to learn to do is not only know what the full armor of God is, but what each piece actually represents. So we can not only say put on the belt of truth, but we know what it means to put on the belt of truth.
Okay. I've read that in the Bible, and I get that part. It's just that, like I said, I hear a lot of prayer, and they say, well, you know, tonight we're going to declare war. I mean, if you look at it, we're, like you just said, we're always at war with
sure.
the devil because
sure.
anyone who comes to Christ, like Muhammad said, Satan will do everything in his power to destroy us. So why is it necessary to say tonight we're going to have spiritual warfare when it's a constant thing?
Yeah, exactly. And what we have to do is follow the Prince of Peace and put on the full armor that he provides for us, and we'll be victorious in the war in which we're already engaged, because we are at war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the way we win that war is by the testimony of our love, the testimony of our life, and the testimony of our lips as we communicate truth to a lost and searching world.
Right. Okay. You know what, Hank? This is not going to be my first or last call. I'm definitely going to be calling back. There's a lot of questions, and I know there are other people out there that have questions too, and I don't want to take up your full time. But I do ask the Lord to give you more wisdom and knowledge. And from what I've heard so far, you explain everything in full detail according to the Bible. And nowadays, that's hard to get by with so many churches, with traditions and rituals, that you just have to question, Lord, what are we doing in the churches today?
Yeah, exactly. Edwin, thanks for your call.
All right, thank you, Hank. Have a good one. God bless.
You too. Your encouragement is much appreciated. Sonja in Houston, Texas, you're next. Hi, Sonja.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Okay, I have a question about the scripture in Matthew 5, 28, or 27 and 28, basically about adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Like if a man commits adultery in his heart, he has already committed adultery. And the other scripture, which is what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. If you're in a marriage where you feel like God didn't join you together and there's resentment, one of the parties feel that, you know, they were misled into marriage or whatever the case may be, but they're thinking about being with someone else, or they're obviously having adultery taking place in their heart. I mean, I know that's one of the grounds for divorce, but what's your take on that? Like if there's resentment, if you know that you're with someone that obviously feels that God didn't bring you together, is that a loophole, I guess, to say for you to get out of your marriage, or...
Yeah, that's exactly what it would be. It would be a loophole. It wouldn't be a genuine reason for getting out of a marriage. Here's the parameters that are set forth for us by the scripture. If you're in a relationship as a believer, and the unbeliever is willing to stay in that relationship, you must also be willing to stay in that relationship. But if the unbeliever leaves, then Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you are free.
We're both believers, so that's where my take is. Like, I don't understand how you could be a believer and have resentment and things like that.
Well, you can have resentment, but you have to ask the Lord for forgiveness for that and ask Him to heal your heart and to restore your marriage and to restore your love, which ultimately is a commitment. People see love in the Hollywood vernacular, which is love is a feeling, when in biblical terms, love is a commitment. The feelings ebb and flow, but if you have a biblical commitment, you're able to withstand the winds and waves that beat upon the house of your marriage, and your house will stand strong.
Okay. Sounds good. I really appreciate your time. Thank you again.
Thank you. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. Jeff next, Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you. Listen, I have a very important question to ask you. I'm a pastor at a church here in Phoenix, Arizona. But I just felt led as I was listening today, just to give you a little blessing here. When I was 16 years old, I came to Christ, and the first opportunity I had to witness to somebody was to a Mormon, and it was CRI that gave me the materials for free to do the evangelism with them. And so I was equipped by the tapes of Dr. Martin doing debates, by listening to you daily. And so I'm in full-time ministry now. I'm a pastor of a church, also the president of an outreach ministry to Mormons here in Phoenix. And we witnessed to thousands and thousands of Mormons, seeing countless Mormons come to Christ, Mormon missionary leave his mission, come to Christ. And so just wanted to bless you with that and let you know that God used you to equip me and train me when I first became a believer.
And you just blessed me. Thank you so much. And everybody that works here, you have blessed them as well. Thank you, Jeff.
Good, good. So just a quick question. 2 weeks ago, you have a radio personality on directly after your show, actually just in a few minutes here, who came on the air, and was doing a show on baptism, and his take on baptism was that we're saved by faith and baptism, that baptism is essential for salvation. I called in to talk to him, and he was arguing that if you don't get baptized, you are not saved. And I was demonstrating to him from the text that, you know, you by faith are credited righteousness and you're justified before you enter the water. He disagreed, so I was wondering if you could just give a statement to that view and just talk about how serious that is.
Yeah, I think it's very serious because we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. So it is not something that you do plus what Christ did, but Christ paid it all to him I owe. So we can't add a work to our salvation. A baptism is done in response to salvation. It is baptism that sets apart as opposed to baptism that saves. And therefore, we see baptism as a symbol that we are entering a community of faith and is a sign that we are buried to our old life, raised to newness of life through his resurrection power. And of course, you can go to the Bible for verification, not only in the passages that I paraphrase, but if you go to Acts 10:47, it describes believers indwelt by the Holy Spirit and therefore saved prior to being baptized. So again, right. baptism sets apart, it doesn't save.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for your ministry, and I just pray for God's blessing on your life.
Thank you so much, Jeff. And with that, we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My apologies to all those still hanging on or calling in. We look forward to seeing you real soon in a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In the meantime, pray for this ministry, support this ministry if you can. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. So long for now.
Bible Answer Man fans, there are now more ways than ever to interact with the radio program and Hank Hanegraaff. Besides listening online, podcasting, watching video clips, or reading Hank's blog, you can also access more of Hank through Facebook, Twitter, and our brand new website at www.equip.org, where you can access all of these new media. At last count, CRI reaches people in over 177 countries through the research materials, resources, and our broadcast found at www.equip.org. You can help too. Spread the word by posting links to our website and articles from your Facebook page and your tweets. It's all at www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what he promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.